Okay, today's daf is Erev and Daf Gimel. We're at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Just to remind ourselves what we were saying, we had mentioned that Rav's Shita was that if there was a doorpost that was within 20 Amud, however, there was a lintel above the doorpost. Thank you, Daniel Allen, for that word. If there's a lintel above the doorpost that exceeded 20 Amud, you would not be allowed to carry in that Mavoi. That would constitute as a Mavoi with a doorpost that exceeded 20 Amud. However, there's a Mefurish Breita that says that you would be allowed to carry in such a Mavoi. And when that was posed to Rav, he said, well, that's not difficult because there's also a Breita that says that we learn the dinim of the Mavoi from the Heichal. Now, the Heichal also cannot exceed 20 Amot, even though there's a lintel by the Heichal. So, it's not my Shita that's problematic, right? The two Breitot themselves of whether or not that's a legitimate Mavoi are contradictory, and so, even according to my Shita, it's a machloket. Just like in the Breitot, it's a machloket. But then, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak responds as follows to suggest that there's not actually necessarily a contradiction between the Breitas, and it's only Rav's Shita that is problematic. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Milo Rav Matnaita Ahadade Lokashin. Without Rav's Shita, you wouldn't have to suggest that necessarily just by the Breitas that there's a problem, that there's a contradiction. The Rabbanon, Nkora Tama Mai, Mishum Hekera, Vai, Dekatani, Yeter Repitcho Shel Heichal, Simana Be'alma. Right? So that you just suggest that what is the reason why you cannot have a crossbeam and a Mavoi that exceeds 20 Amot? Because you have to be able to see it, right? You have to be able to recognize it, identify that it's there. If it's beyond 20 Amot, it's not identifiable. The average person doesn't look over 20 Amot in the air. And so, there's really not a contradiction. And this, the idea that Yetzer Mepitcho Shel Heichal, right, that it cannot exceed the length of that of the Heichal, because we learn from the Heichal, that's just a simon. That's like it's like a mnemonic. It's a memory mechanism. But it's not to suggest that we actually learn it out from the Heichal, as is Rav's Shita. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hanicha, Ilo Svirele Haderaba, Ele Isvirele Haderaba. So, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, okay, your Shita works if you don't hold by this Shita of Rabba. But if you do hold by the following Shita of Rabba, then Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak has a problem. What is that Shita, and what is the problem? Da'ama Rabba, K'tiv, Leman Yedu Dorotechem Ki Vasukot Oshavti. Right? Because it's written by Sukkah that the purpose of the Sukkah is to know, is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us in Sukkot or set us in Sukkot throughout the wilderness. And if the sukkah is within 20 amot, then you recognize that you are inside of a sukkah because you're in a structure that you see when you're sitting down. However, if the sukkah exceeds 20 amot, you barely even realize the structure that you're in. You're just in this massive structure. You don't recognize that you're in something, so you're not going to be mekayim the yeda that you need to have about the sukkah. But if you're telling me that both by sukkah, the problem is hekera, is whether or not you're going to notice that you're underneath the schach, and whether or not you're going to notice the crossbeam above the mavoi, then both of those issues are about hekera. So why are we suggesting that there are two different machlokot here? The way that we are presenting this idea is that the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda have this argument, and they also have that argument. But if both arguments boil down to whether or not the eye catches that height, then it's not two different machlokot. It's the same machloket. Why are we suggesting that there are two machlokets here? In fact, why do they need to argue on both of those things? Tzricha. No, really, you need to mention that, you need to mention these as independent machlokot for the following reason. Diyesh mayin and gabe sukkah. If you only would have taught me that they have a machloket regarding sukkah, behakama Rabbi Yehuda kevan dili shiva avida shalt be'ina. Right? Rabbi Yehuda would say that when it comes to a sukkah, since you're supposed to be sitting there, you're going to recognize what's above you. Much better chance you're going to recognize what's above you, even if it's beyond 20 amot. Aval mavoi delihiluch avit emamodul rabbanan. However, when it comes to a mavoi that you're just walking past, the likelihood is you're not going to take notice of it. So that's when Rabbi Yehuda would be moded to rabbanan, that a sukkah can be beyond 20 amot, because you're going to, you can see it because you're supposed to be sitting in it, so you're going to recognize that you're inside of it. However, when you're just walking past the Mavoi, maybe they'd agree to the Rabbanon that it really shouldn't be beyond 20 Amot, because if it's beyond 20 Amot and you're just walking past it, the likelihood is you're not going to notice it. Right? So it's, and if you only taught me, would have taught me the case of Mavoi, then maybe I would have said that Davka by a Mavoi, the Rabbanon require it to be within 20 Amot. That way, you don't miss it by walking by. But a Sukkah that you're sitting in it, the Rabbanon would certainly agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it could be beyond 20. That is why it needs to, that is why it is painted as two different machlokot, because one would not be learned from the other, because they have different sides, Lakula and Lachumra. My Amaltra. Right, so what is this amaltera that was apparently over the door of the Heichal? Right, Rav Chama Barei the Rabba Baravua Amar Keni. It was these birds' nests, not actual birds' nests, but kind of wooden sculptures that looked like birds' nests. Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Amri B'Marava Piskei Da Arza. But when Rav Dimi came, he said in Israel they said that it was these poles made out of cedar that were above the doorpost. The one who holds that it was cedar poles has all the more so if there were, meaning if it's mutter, if it's cedar poles, sorry, if it is, if it's mutter when it's cedar poles, all the more so be mutter when it's birds' nest, when it's birds' nest carvings. And the one who says that it's mutter if they're birds' nest carvings, but there would not be mutter to carry underneath it if it was pole carvings. And the idea is, what is more noticeable, right? So if these there are fancy sculptures up there, and you're going to stop and notice it, and everyone's going to realize it as they walk by, then we're less concerned that you're going to pass by without recognizing that it's there. Right. So what is the reason why those who what is the reason according to those who hold that the bird's nest carvings are mutter? Why would that be mutter? Because that attracts people's attention, right? You're going to, not that attracts people's attention, rather that why is it that that people who say that the cedar poles are mutter, why do they hold that you're allowed to carry underneath those things, right? They're not readily noticeable. So why is it, according to that shita, that you're allowed, that constitutes an appropriate mavoi if there are cedar poles above the crossbeam? The answer is because they extend outward. They're long. Right, so it's not just like one cross beam that is exactly where, you know, where it's put, and you either see it or you miss it. These are cedar poles that extend, right? They're very, very long. They're very hard to miss, right? But if that's the case, then so too you'd say by a sukkah. A sukkah also extends. It's not just, you know, one tefach deep, right? A sukkah is multiple amot deep. Ela kevan kachashiv itle kala. Rather, because cedar poles are expensive, so people realize that they're there. They attract attention because they're expensive, but a sukkah can be made out of anything. Miktzat korah b'toch esrim, miktzat korah l'mala me'esrim, miktzat schach b'toch esrim, miktzat schach l'mala me'esrim. Right? So what do you do in the following case? Some of the crossbeam is within 20 amot. The bottom of the crossbeam, within 20 amot. Perfect height. But the crossbeam itself is maybe an amma or two high, and the end point of the crossbeam is beyond 20 amot. Is that a problem or not? Similarly, part of the schach is within 20, but part of the schach is beyond 20. Is that a problem or not? Right? Basically, do we want to go by? Are we looking at the airspace underneath the beam and underneath the schach, or are we looking at the height of the top of the beam and the top of the schach, right? So, Amar Rabba responds, bit mavoi kasher b'sukkah pasul. When it comes to a mavoi, that's allowed, as long as the bottom of the mavoi is within 20. When it comes to a sukkah, however, it's pasul. Mashna mavoi de kasher de amrin and kalush. Right? So, and what is the difference by mavoi that we say that it is kosher? Because we say, well, just, you know, thin out the top. See the part that exceeds 20 as if it's not there, and ask yourself, is what is left within 20 significant to constitute halachically what we need it to be? And then it would be kosher, right? Well, sukkah nami kalush. Well, why can't we also just thin out the schach that exceeds 20 amot and then be perfectly fine in the sukkah? I kalashta havi lachamata meruba mitzilata. Because there's a concern that if you thin that what created the reality in the sukkah that had more shade than sunlight, which is a necessity for it to be a kosher sukkah, was a result of how much schach that it had. But if you thinned off the layers of schach where it exceeded 20 amot, maybe you would be left with a sukkah that had more sunlight than shade. That is the issue that doesn't apply to Mavoi. Hachanami, ikalasha havila kura nitel beruach. No, that's not necessarily the case, because if you thin out the mavoi, you may also have an issue with the mavoi because you may be leaving it too weak of a mavoi, right? So if the mavoi is so weak that the wind is going to come and blow it away, that's not a kosher mavoi. And so maybe we should be concerned, just like by the schach, if you thin out the schach, you're going to be left with something that has more sunlight than shade. Maybe we're concerned by mavoi, that if you thin out the mavoi, then you're going to be left with something that's not strong enough to hold. Rather, you must say that if we are imagining, meaning again, you're not actually thinning out the mavoi, but if what we're saying is, pretend that we're thinning out the mavoi, if we're saying is, let's see the mavoi as if it was thin, but while we're seeing the mavoi as if it were that thin, we don't see it as a thin piece of wood, we see it like a metal skewer that is stuck in place that won't be moved, right? So, yes, we're thinning it out, but we're not seeing it as a thin piece of wood, we're seeing it as something that has structural integrity up there. Hachanami, alkor chanasi tzilata merubah mechamata. Okay, then just see the sukkah as then there, or rather, maybe this is a little bit more accurate. We're only talking about thinning out a mavoi that once you thin it out, it's more structured. It still can hold on its own. So too by sukkah, say that we're talking about a sukkah that when you thin out the sukkah, there's still more shade than sunlight. It's the same comparison. Because if you want to tell me that we're talking about that, what mavoi are we dealing with here? The type of mavoi that even once you thin it out, it's still not going to be a problem because it's strong enough to hold. Then the type of sukkah that we're talking about is that once you thin out the schach, it's still going to be more shade than sunlight. Amarava mi parzakia sukkah delayachid hu lo mitkar mavoi del rabbi mitkar adate. This is the answer. When it comes to a sukkah, that is a mitzvah that individuals are taking benefit from, and we're concerned that an individual is not going to take notice of it, is not going to remember that he needs to, it's like this. We're concerned for the possibility that the lower part of the mavoi would be removed or fall off, and the lower part of the schach would be removed or fall off. In which case, you'd only be left with the higher part, and it would be a non-kosher mavoi or a non-kosher sukkah. But an individual who is sitting in a sukkah, because it's an individual mitzvah, if the lower part was removed, there's no one there to remind him to rectify the sukkah, because now you only have sukkah above 20 amot. However, if part of the mavoi fell off, that's the mitzvah derabim, because multiple people are using that mavoi, in which case someone would remind you to rectify the situation. So it's just more risky by a sukkah, and we're not sure anyone's going to remind you to correct the situation if something wrong takes place. Ravina Amar, sukkah deoraita, chmira berabanan, mavoi derabanan, lo chmira berabanan. Ravina says, no, simple. Sukkah is deoraita. So the rabbis were machmir. But the mavoi is derabanan, we weren't machmir. Rav Ada bar Matna, matni la hashemata, deraba ibcha. Actually, Rav Ada bar Matna taught that statement of Rabba that we referenced earlier in the opposite way. Amar Rabba b'mavoi pasul b'sukkah kashira. He says that by mavoi it's pasul, and by sukkah it's kasher. So if a mavoi's cross beam exceeds 20 amot, that's pasul. But if schach exceeds 20 amot, that's kosher. Maishna sukkah kashira damrinan kalush. Right? Well, what's the difference by sukkah that you'd say it's kasher? Because is it because you would just say, well, thin out the schach, and then you have a proper schach? Well, b'mavoi nami lemakalush. Well, by mavoi, can't you also just say zinot the mavoi, and then you have an appropriate mavoi? Ikalashta havele korani tela beruach. No, there's a problem by mavoi, because if you thin it out, you may be making it too thin, and it can't stand on its own. Hachanami ikalashta havele chamata beru mitzilata. Well, so too I have a concern by the sukkah that if you thin out the schach too much, then maybe you can have a sukkah that has more sunlight than shade. Ela al kurchacha nasi tzilata beru mechamata. Ah, so by sukkah you must say that we're talking about a sukkah that has more shade than sunlight even after you thin out the schach. Well, then also by mavoi you should say that we're talking about a mavoi that still is structurally sound once you thin it out. Amarava mepir zakia sukkah di lachid ha hi rame anavshe umidkar mavoi di larabim hi samchi adade velo umidkare. And this is fascinating, right? So now we're changing Rava mepir zakia's statement and saying why sukkah Yudavka will remember if something goes wrong, and mavoi you won't remember if something goes wrong, because sukkah is an individual responsibility. That's your sukkah. So if something goes wrong, who's taking care of it? You are, and you know that you are, so you're paying attention to what needs to take place. However, a mavoi helps the rabim, and when multiple people have the responsibility for something, it seems that sometimes no one takes it because it's not incumbent upon any individual. So everyone says, "Well, the other guy is going to take care of it." The amri inche kidra debe shutve lo chamima velo karira. Right, a pot that is owned by partners is not hot nor cold. Meaning, whenever you have something that's one person's responsibility, so that one person says, "Don't worry, I got this. If something goes wrong, he takes care of it." If it's multiple people's responsibility, then everyone thinks it's the other guy's job and no one's actually going to end up doing it. And that is why by sukkah we're not concerned, and by mavo we are concerned. Ravina amar, sukkah deraita lo ba'ichizuk, mavi derabanan ba'ichizuk. And now we have Ravina's statement, who makes a distinction between deoraita and derabanan, but in the total reverse. A sukkah is a deoraita. People are very makbid when it comes to deoraitas. You don't need to make additional takanas and additional chumras to make sure people are properly regarding the deoraitas. They're definitely properly regarding the deoraitas. Where do you need additional chizuk? When it comes to a derabanan, they're concerned that people aren't going to treat properly. My havi Allah. What's the din? What's the halacha? Rabba bar Rav Ula Amar Zeveze Pasul. According to Rabba Rav Ula, both the mavoi and a sukkah are actually pasul. Rabba Amar Zeveze Kasher. So Rabba says actually they're both kasher. Chalal sukkah tanan, chalal mavoi tanan. We spoke about when we said that it can't exceed 20 amma, what we meant was that the airspace underneath the sukkah, or underneath the schach, or underneath the mavoi, cannot exceed 20 amot. So even if the schach, or the mavoi itself, the crossbeam itself, exceeds 20 amot, we care about the airspace underneath it, which is still less than that. Amar le Rav Papa le Rava, Tani de Misailach, says there's a brighter that supports you. Mavoi shu gavoa me esrim amma, yote mepitcho shel heichal, yemait. Vehechal gufo, chalalo esrim. That since the Mishnah chose to learn these dinim from the heichal, right? So the height of the heichal actually exceeded, we said it was a crossbeam that is a greater height, greater than 20 amot, like, meaning that it's greater than the height of the heichal, needs to be diminished because it's not kosher. And how much was the airspace of the heichal? 20 amot. Now, the doorpost of the heichal exceeded 20 amot, but the airspace was under 20 amot. And that's how we know, and that's kind of the proof that can be learned, that since we're connecting this to the heichal, and the heichal had a crossbeam that exceeded 20 amot, and still it's halal, the airspace was under 20 amot, it must be that we focus on the airspace and not on the height of the doorpost. Etve Rav Shimi Bar, Rav Ashi, Rav Papa, Ketzad Haya Ose, Maniach Korah, Misfat Esrim, Ulamata. So, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, rejected and says as follows, you know, how do you set up the mavoi? You put a crossbeam that the top of the crossbeam, that the height from the top of the crossbeam to the ground is 20 amot. But that would imply that the top of the crossbeam cannot exceed 20 amot. Ema ulamala. Vahamalata kaitani. Well, maybe he meant to say, Maybe he meant to say that we're measuring the 20 amot from above it, or we're measuring rather from above it and not from below it. What problem does that fix? We're definitely measuring the height underneath it. We're talking about the crossbeam on top of the mavoi that we need to check the distance underneath it, and we explicitly teach lamata hakamash malan de lamata kilamala. No. We're not saying change the word. We're saying reinterpret what we're talking about here. What we're suggesting is lamata kilamala mala mala chalala esrim af lamata chalala esrim. What we're suggesting is that there are similar dinim by a mavoi in the maximum height and in the minimum height. See, we didn't talk about the minimum height yet, but actually the minimum height of a mavoi is 10 tvachim. A mavoi cannot be lower than 10 tvachim. But then you would ask the question, well, what does that mean, no lower than 10 tvachim? Does that mean that the mavoi itself, that the top of the mavoi should be 10 tvachim off the ground? But if the mavoi itself was a couple of tvachim, then the airspace underneath it would be 8 tvachim? Or are we saying that the airspace underneath the mavoi must be at least 10 tvachim? Well, we're comparing the lamata kilamala, right? That's what he's suggesting, that the lamata is like the lamala. And regardless of whether you're measuring it from the floor up or from the top down, meaning to check the maximum or the minimum, what we care about is the airspace. Meaning, when you're creating the airspace in the mavoi, if it's 20 amot, it needs to be the airspace of 20 amot for the mavoi, even if the crossbeam itself exceeds 20 amot. However, when you're talking about the minimum size, it needs to be 10 tvachim off the ground, meaning it has to have an airspace of 10 tvachim. But it cannot, the crossbeam itself cannot go lower than 10 tvachim. So the bottom of the crossbeam for the minimum cannot go lower than 10 tvachim. But the top of the crossbeam and the bottom of the crossbeam for the maximum needs to be no more than 20 amot. Amar Abaye, Mishmei Rav Nachman, Amat Sukkah v'Amat Mavoi be'Amah bat Chamisha, Amat Kilayim be'Amah bat Shisha. So two different types of amot. Right? There are two different types of amot. One type of amot is 5 tvachim. One type of amot is 6 tvachim. Abaye says that when we talk about the amas by a sukkah and by a mavoi, what we mean is the 5 tefach amas. And when we talk about kilayim, we mean the 6 tefach mavois. Now, if you measure them by 5 tefach, if you measure the amas of the sukkah and the mavoi by 5 tefach amas, right, then that's basically being machmir, right? Because if you measure 6 tvachim for each amah, then you may end up with a mavoi that is higher than it would be allowed to be if you were measuring it by 6, by 5 tefach amas. So we're machmir and saying, let's go by 5 tefach amas. But by kilayim, right, so that's when we go by 6 tefach amas, because by kilayim, we davka want more distance is less risky. Because we're talking about distancing plants from one another that are different types of plants, right? So there, we're also going l'chumra. So basically, when you're measuring amas, go l'chumra. Amat mavoi be'amah bat chamisha, l'may hilchta, l'gova, u'lefirtzat mavoi. Right? So the halachic ramifications of the amah of mavoi being 5 tvachim has to do with the maximum height of the crossbeam. And if there's a hole in the mavoi itself, right, like a hole in one of the walls, so that renders the mavoi unkosher to carry in unless it is fewer than 10 amot, right? So when measuring both of those things, we use 5 tefach amot. V'ha'ika meshach mavoi ba'arba amot dilakula. But wait one second. We know that for a mavoi to be kosher, it needs to be at least 4 amot, right? And so if you measure 4 amot by 5 tvachim as opposed to by 6 tvachim, then you're being makil. Because that actually leads you to have a smaller mavoi, because you're measuring them with 5 tefach amas, right? So now you're makil. So I understand you're being machmir in the height, but you're being makil in the depth. Keman de amar ba'arba tvachim. No. That shita that we're saying 5 tefach amas also holds that when we said it needs to be arba, it needs to be 4, we're not talking about amot, we're talking about 4 tfachim, not 4 amot. So it doesn't make a difference what amot that you use. That has no impact on how wide it needs to be. How long it needs to be. V'bayit ema ba'arba amot v'rov amot kamar. Or you could just say that we're talking about arba amot, and when we said that mavois are measured by 5 tefach amas, we just meant most amot by mavois are measured by 5 tefach amot. Ama suka be ama bar chamisha l'may hilchato l'gova v'l'dofen akuma. Right, and when we say that a sukkah is measured by five tefach amos, what is the halachic significance of that statement for the height? Because the height has a maximum, and for a bent wall. See, the schach has certain materials that are kosher for schach. However, if it has non-kosher materials, but the non-kosher materials don't exceed dalet amot of the wall, then don't exceed dalet amot of the roof, then we just see that part of the roof as an extension of the wall, and we see that you have a bent over wall, and your actual schach is a smaller area. I mean, we just don't see it as partially kosher schach, partially unkosher schach, but we see it as a wall that bends over and meets your schach in the middle of the roof, right? However, that's only four amot, so that's a halachically significant question as to how big an amah is, and we go by five tefach amas l'chumra. But similar problem, a sukkah has to be at least four amot. But if you're only going by small amot, then you're being makil by how big your sukkah, how long your sukkah needs to be. The Tanya, we're under bright, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe Yonas says, Omer ani, I say, in my humble opinion, kol sukkah she'ein ba arba amot al arba amot psula. Any sukkah that doesn't have dalet al dalet, it's going to be puzzle. So you're being makil there by measuring in five tefach amas. Kirabanan, the amri afilo ena mechazeket ela rosh of ruba v'shulchana. Right. So the shita that holds that we go by five tefach amas doesn't agree with Rebbe. It agrees with the Rabbanan, who holds that it doesn't have to be dalet al dalet. It has to hold your head, most of your body, and a table for you to eat on. V'bay ema. Alternatively, leolam Rebbe. Maybe he does go by Rebbe. V'rov amot kamar. And what he meant to say is not every single ama measurement by a sukkah, rather just most of the ama measurements by a sukkah are five tefach amas. Amat kilayim ba'ama bat shisha l'may hilchata le'karachar hakerem ve'limchol hakerem. Right? And what's the halachic significance of saying that the ama of kilayim is six tefachim? Well, it is when you measure a destroyed area within a kerem that has no plants, or when you're measuring out the border of a vineyard to know how close by you're allowed to plant next to it. It's not, we don't do a braita, we don't do an omishna, sorry. Karachat hakerem, right, when it comes to a barren area within a vineyard, Beit Shammai Omrim, Esrim Ba'arba Amo, has to be 24 Amo in order for it to be considered a barren area that you're allowed to plant something else. Meaning if you have a full massive vineyard, but you have this gap in the vineyard with no vines, that's 24 amot, then you're allowed to plant whatever you want in there. But if not, you can't plant. It's a different plant in the middle of a vineyard. Beit Hillel omrim shishasre amot. Beit Hillel says though it's 16 amot. Umechol hakerem. And what is a mechol hakerem? Beit Shammai omrim sheshesrei amot, that the kerem, that the perimeter of the vineyard before you start planting things next to it has to be 16 amot. Beit omrim shtemesrei amot, it has to be 12. Either way, it's very significant. It's very significant. The size of the ama in measuring how close other things are allowed to be. Now, because here it's more makil, it's more machmir to go by bigger amot as opposed to a mavoi and sukkah, where it's more makil to go by bigger amot. So here we go by bigger amot to make sure you're not planting too close to the vineyard. Ezvi karach nakerim. Right now, what constitutes a barren area in between inside of a vineyard? Kerem shechava shecharav emtziato. Ein sham sheshesrei amot lo yavi zera l'sham. Right. So if the inside of a vineyard was destroyed, if you don't have 16 amot there, you cannot plant something else. Hayusham sheshesrei amot notin lo kedei avodato v'zorea et hamutar. Right. But if you do have 16 amot in the middle of a vineyard, so then what do? Well, you give yourself dalet amot. You give yourself dalet amot to distance yourself from the grapes, and then you start doing your work. Ezahu mechol hakerem. Now, what is the mechol hakerem? What's the perimeter? Bein kerem legeder. That's the area between the vineyard and the gate. Ein sham shnemesrei ama lo yavizer l'sham. If you don't have 12 amot between the vineyard and the gate, then you can't plant in between the vineyard area and the gate. Hayusham shnemesrei ama. But if you do have 12 amot there, notin lo kidei avodato v'zeret hashar. Right. So then give a four amot perimeter to your vineyard, and then use the rest of the area for planting. V'ha'ika retzufim be'arba amot. Oh. But now we have a case where using big amot actually creates a kula. How so? The retzufim be arba amot. The vines that are planted one after the other in a vineyard. We measure what's considered a vineyard, meaning maybe something's just a vine. What's considered a vineyard? Well, it's a certain amount of vines in proximity to one another. So if you use bigger amot to measure that out, then something that may have been a vineyard based on how close together the amot are now further together because you're using bigger, or they're now further apart because you're using bigger amot, right? So there's a kula that you created because maybe this thing should be called a kerem, it should be called a vineyard, and you can't plant anything else there, but you're not calling it a vineyard because you say the vines are too far apart, but it's just because you're using too big amot. It's not kerem anatua al pachot me arba amot. Rabbi Shimon Omer eino kerem, chamim omerim kerem, right? That Rabbi Shua says that a vineyard that is planted over a vineyard that is planted, that nothing comes, that the vines don't come within four amot of each other, is not really a vineyard. And Rabbi Shimon says, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a vineyard. And the Chachamim say, yeah, no, it still is a vineyard even if it's four amot apart. And we just see the middle vines as if they're not there. Kerabanan da amri have kerem. That's not a problem. They just hold by the Rabbanan Shita, who hold that it still is considered a kerem even if they're distant from each other. Alternative, you can say as follows: Leolam Rabbi Shimon, really they passing like Rabbi Shimon's, that if the vines are too far apart, it's not considered a kerem. Verov amot kamar. And we just didn't mean that every single amot measurement that pertains to kilayim is six tefach amot. Rather, most of the amot that were used in measuring kilayim are six tefach amot. V'rava mishmei the Rav Nachman amar kol amot be'amavat shisha ela halalo sochkod v'halalo atzevot. So according to Rava, in the name of Rav Nachman, he says really all amot are six tefach amos. However, there's just a difference in how you measure the tefach. Right, a tefach is roughly, you know, the size of your fist. The question is, are your fingers closed together when you're? Are your fingers closed together when you're making that tefach? Or are you spreading them when you're making that tefach? We're always dealing with six tefach amas. However, the question is that six tefachim when your hands are together, or six tefachim when your hands are apart? That's how we measure them differently. Okay, we'll stop here.